I was trying to learn the Shop Talk Show theme. Anyway, well, to press the button. Dave, thanks for everybody for listening to the Shop Talk Show. I think it's time to kick things off.
Sounds so good on the big audio here. There it is.
That was the thing I just did. It's awesome.
Just wait. Just a bit.
It's not as fun live.
Just so you know, you guys don't really have to face each other.
Oh,
I just pictured that I imagined you guys lovingly staring into each other's eyes as you answer the questions every week.
I don't like it.
We come from an environment where we actually don't look at each other, and looking at each other is pretty psychedelic.
I said what I'm going to say about it. Thanks to the whole Denny family.
Woo.
For having us. This is going to go out onto like a recorded podcast at some point. So most people have no idea what's going on right now. But
yeah,
we're live. We're sitting in front of a whole auditorium.
Hundreds of people screaming. way to bait the audience into some participation. I'm not sure if you listen to the Shop Talk Show, but we are a sound effects podcast that talks about front-end web design and development. I am Dave Rupert. I work at Paravel. And
I'm Chris Coyer. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. It's going to be a little bit like a rapid fire. A little bit, but not really, because we're gonna answer some questions. So Dan sent out an email asking for questions, and we compiled the best of them on this list here.
And I wore my most Florida-y shirt. I was like, what do people in Florida wear? Because I need to blend in. I got one. Hold on. Did you know Florida was invented by pirates? True.
Yeah.
All right. So let's get into the meat and potatoes of the talk shop.
If you have anything to say, just let's hear it too. You know, because this is that's a Q&A. You know, we could actually. I'm willing to answer questions about Jen's talk.
That's good, because there wasn't enough time,
I know.
So we should answer questions for Jen. All right, first question, Chris.
Mr. Travis Miller writes in, Dear Shop Talk.
Hey.
Do you think that the flat design trend affects your overall perception of a brand? So, I mean, there you go. This is inescapable, right?
I know, you're getting worked up.
I'm getting worked up before we even talk about it. I mean, how many times has it came up today, just like hanging out in the back? What do you think of iOS 7 and the flat design?
So, does it affect the brand? So, obviously, like, you got things like maybe you established your brand on really beveled buttons, and that is the crux of your organization. Does that affect it? Yes.
Well, it affects it like a design affects anything. I mean, design is super, super important. You know, it affects how people feel about your thing. So, yeah, mm-hmm. If you change the way that it's designed, it will change the way people feel about the design.
Well, so MailChimp, I think, is a good example, right? They had a really awesome website, and they just recently...
What are they going to do with Freddy, actually?
You're going
to just flatten them right out there.
Yep.
You know, Disney, like a...
He can't have hair. He basically can only have... He just has to be monochrome. So, I don't know. I mean, I don't... Trevor?
It's Travis.
Travis. I'm so good at this. So, I don't know. That's a good question. What do you think? Because let's say CodePen. Here we go. kind of a rich design, right?
Yeah, but it's the audience is designers, though, and I think this question transcends that. Like, if this people in this room, we're gonna like bring all kinds of baggage to that question, mm-hmm. you know? Because you either love it or you hate it or whatever. And then if some brand were to switch to it, you would bring all that crap with you to the decision. Whereas anybody else in the world, they're like, looks like a website, you know? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think if you're gonna, it's possible for your organization to lose a little bit of character, like if everyone goes flat and square buttons and everyone's doing it, you know, it'll all...
The soul dissipates.
There's only 256 colors to choose from in Photoshop. So, like, well...
I know.
So, you're like, right, obviously we have to, like, some sites will look very similar, but that might be you just got to time it. You got to be the guy who's like, in 1.5 years, I'm going to actually round some corners and, like, be new, and everyone's going to ooh and ah.
Possibly. I think of brands like Tweetbot or whatever. Do you use Tweetbot on your phone? It has, like, bird. It's like the bird, and then it has, like, a super 3D cone thing for mm-hmm. a beak. And it's not going to look right in iOS 7, I don't think. So, like, are they going to abort ship on the 3D cone bird thing?
That's a good question. I hadn't thought about that.
I don't know. It's going to affect their brand.
It would, because they can't just do a flat bird, right?
No.
It's not the same Tweetbot bird.
Right.
Well, sorry, they're out of business.
And their whole app is like the least flat app of all time.
Out of business. Zing of the
day. Just keep pressing buttons. That's working better than the talking.
Yep. All right.
Yes, it will affect your brand in some way.
Next,
this is what we do, that we kind of not
those were
actually
not real
answer
gunshots.
Questions.
I realize in public this is a very sensitive
yeah.
sound effect.
Do you have a fire alarm you can press?
which button turns off the power?
Yeah.
Okay, next question.
This is good. Mr. Aaron Clayton writes in Dear Shop Talk.
Dear Shop Talk.
I like that they should assign it like an acronym, like confused, confused longingly in Florida.
Yeah.
Dear Cliff.
Florida man. Right, so.
Obviously, responsive web design is the future. Our content can be shaped however we wish. However, my question is, why not more e-commerce sites use it to increase conversions? Do they know something we don't? Or are they just behind the times? Thanks, Chris and Dave. So you will know what responsive web design is. I mean, I'm sure.
Got it. Responsive web design is
one column
on mobile, and then three on wide.
And so it sounds like Aaron's perception is that there's tons of e-commerce sites, and fewer of them have taken up the RWD trend or mm-hmm. whatever, which is possibly true because. It's generally more complicated. There's less stuff on a page than, you know, it's easy on a blog because you're like, title, byline, paragraphs.
Yeah, like a blog, you have two views, right? The index, whatever your homepage is, and then your post, right?
Right. But e-commerce, there's just more stuff that needs to get on the page, and it's harder to squish it together or what, maybe. Like, even if it's not harder, there's definitely more decisions that you have to make. So I guess because it's harder, less people are doing it or something. It's not that there's not a such thing as an e-commerce responsive design, though, certainly.
I've done one, and it's difficult. Like, it is, because, like, in an e-commerce site, who's done an e-commerce site? Like, yeah, there's, like, 17 views you have to take care of, like, the product,
the, radio,
the category.
Some people raise their hands.
Oh, some people, 4 people raise their hands, radio. There's 17 views you have to do. It's like the checkout flow, like all 5 or 10
views. Which is often a table, which is notoriously hard to squish.
Yeah, and then there's like the person's account, so they can see what they bought, you know, the product, and then the product probably has this weird image zoomer thing, right? That is like...
Well,
you
if
have,
it's in a e-commerce site, it has a zoomer.
Yeah, it's like if you're going to do an e-commerce site, you have to do it right.
I better be able to see the serial number on that bike's tire.
Yeah, you want to zoom into the stitching on anything. So that stuff's hard. That's harder in responsive web design. That's harder just in the multi-device stuff because it's like... You know, now we're dealing, like Jen's stuff with hovers, it's just like you're dealing with tapping and stuff, and so it doesn't work like you used to think it was. But there are some interesting statistics. The guys at Electric Pulp, they're out in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. Woo, Sioux Falls, no one? Okay, there you go. Sioux Falls, tough crowd this Florida. So they did...
It's northwest of Jacksonville.
Yeah. So they did the O'Neill Surfing Shop website. You guys surf? Yeah? Because you guys are all from Florida, so you all surf. Fact. So you guys all surf. So they did that shop or that e-commerce store, and they did it responsive. And then they did, get this, A-B testing. A gasp comes over the crowd. And they did A-B testing versus like the previous mobile or maybe it was non-mobile. I should know that. But they posted their stats, or O'Neill's stats, on percentage increases of engagement. And like everything was up. iOS was up like 60%. The responsive site was selling 60% more than another, like, than the previous edition. That means they have 60% more dollars from phones. That's pretty good. The Android stats up 400% in conversions. That's 400% more dollars for your client. So,
points, you mean?
All right. Yeah. So that's a big deal.
I think trust would probably be part of it. You know, you get to your average layperson. I relate to them.
Let's put you in that demo.
You open up an e-commerce store like that, and it's like clearly is built for my phone. I think the chances of me completing that workflow are a lot higher.
Oh, yeah. Well, so my wife and I were pregnant, or she mostly is pregnant. I just kind of watch. she's pregnant, and we do a lot of shopping. We do a lot of like baby registry stuff, and like if there's a market you want to disrupt, it's the registry market, because it's kind of across the board terrible. So but I'm sure it's difficult, but it's these sites we go to, it's crazy. All these e-commerce sites, we'll just be browsing on a first gen iPad. The chances of a e-commerce site like crashing a first gen iPad in my recent experience is 100%. So, and like the chances of it being really difficult for somebody to use is 100%, because like the links, even on Amazon.com, and you'd think Amazon.com knows what they're doing. Maybe not, because like the links are microscopic, and you're just like, okay, small finger, let's go, buddy. And It's a problem. I think a lot of e-commerce sites, if you run one or you are involved in one, you have a chance to like totally bust open your competitors, because all the big box stores are probably going to move a lot slower. I would reckon stuff like JCPenney or something. I don't know.
JCPenney.
He started. So he went from the Nets.
Yeah.
You know, he's going to open his own big box department store.
That's the weirder things have happened.
Okay, everyone, don't
like
freak out. Here
JC
we go.
Penny.
Okay, thanks.
Mr. Nick Herr writes, Dear Shop Talk, lately I've begun to realize how much the line between JavaScript and jQuery has become muddled when learning about the language. It's hard to find a solid tutorial that doesn't include jQuery instead of JavaScript. What's your opinion on the somewhat overuse of the popular library in web development?
Good question.
Sorry about that, because I'm like Captain Offender of, in this tutorial, we'll just use jQuery because
it's your fault.
Because I don't want to type get element by ID.
Yeah. Well, so I found out recently, this morning, that jQuery is JavaScript. So, thanks, Doug Niner.
Yeah, Doug, thanks for clearing that up. How's your talk going back there, buddy?
So I found out that, and then there's so that's a big thing. I think people default to jQuery, at least I do, because it's the easiest to read. You know, it's like dollar sign thing I'm trying to do, manipulate it, right? Versus like var, my fancy variable I'm right. naming equals document dot query selector all
but this
parentheses.
Is a good question.
This doesn't work in every browser. I mean,
asterisk,
yeah.
sup, one sup.
Yeah.
Please refer to the bottom of this article for browser information.
If you support IE, then block of text. YUI.
Yeah.
Well, I feel like jQuery is very just common, and you can translate jQuery to whatever you actually use pretty easy. Does that make sense? It's the
yeah, but not, maybe not if you're on like day 3 of learning JavaScript.
That's
you know?
Fair.
And then you know it's a really good question because it's like I don't know. I read it as like our tutorial writers screwing up or doing the world a disservice in this way or something, which maybe. Sorry mm-hmm. again. I don't know. Or not. Here's the reason that I do it is because I've never worked on a project that didn't have jQuery on it ever.
Yeah,
it's just always there.
You just gave a talk on abstraction here at Front End Conf, and you were talking about like, I will abstract no farther.
Yeah, I remember that. That was awesome.
Yeah, that was cool. Anyway. No, but it's like. I feel like jQuery is the easiest abstraction of JavaScript, like that next level. It's not a preprocessor, but it's like it's a convenience language. So I feel like if you're learning JavaScript, just say, how do I do this in jQuery? But there are people like who would hate me for saying that. Like,
what's the coffee? Isn't there like a... I don't know why I'm thinking of this randomly, but what's the shortcut in CoffeeScript for get element by ID? I'm sure there is one.
It's probably...
parentheses.
Unicode character snowman. Snowman dot selector.
You've seen the steaming poop Unicode character?
Yeah.
I love that. That one's amazing.
Why
How did
that
make
exist?
The yeah.
Big
nut. Okay.
Howlin' Mad Murphy.
Next question.
Mr. Corey Chase writes in Dear Shop Talk. Getting into the industry is far more daunting than it was just a few years ago. HTML, CSS, and a bit of JavaScript are just the tip of the iceberg. True, the tooling stack is getting a lot deeper, huh? How do you respond to people that ask you for advice on where they should start?
Where to start?
Teachers would be interesting to ask this question, which we have a question by a teacher coming up here, and Jen teaches too. So I wonder what like day one of like a class like that is like these days. You have to know what like a code editor is, so you have to be like familiar with the fact that these files that we create are just little text files that you save from a code editor, and mm-hmm. And then you on day one you gotta touch HTML, CSS at least, right?
Yeah. Yep.
But then is the I think the question is then like once you know that you're like not empowered to build a website yet, like that those are important fundamentals, but like you can't go home and build a website yet because you gotta like. Know how to
upload domain name things and, to a server
and FTP and then people will be like, and then your like jerk cousin will be like, you're still writing in CSS. I went to a conference and this guy said to use only SAS all the time.
yeah, I was at that one.
And then they'll be like, I don't understand. And yeah, so the stack is pretty deep, but I don't know. Take Jen's class. She teaches it, you know.
I think you got to do it. We have a saying, just build websites on the show.
Oh, yeah. So last year I couldn't make it, and so like a really super cool group of people, and you can actually go to justbuildwebsites.com, and it became a little mantra on Chop Talk Show because it's such a cool idea. People are like, what should I learn next? I don't have the opportunity to work on stuff. How do I get better? Is like the most common generic kind of ish question we get on Chop Talk Show. And it kind of came our default answer, you know, like they have on Chop Talk.
Just build websites. And it would be really cool if you guys helped us get a sound effect for our soundboard.
Yep.
Would you guys mind helping us?
Like with the pacing of like just build websites.
Everybody yeah. set that your internal tempo to that. And then here, I'll record it. I have the technology. Siri. Voice memo. Okay. All right. So we'll count to whatever. I'll count to 3 and then you'll set your tempo clock to dun 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 dun. Right? So just build websites, if you're confused. Okay? All right, ready? So, hello, testing. Okay, 3, 2, 1.
Just build websites!
God, that was so awesome.
It's gonna sound so good. Here.
Oh, I was nervous that it was gonna be like, just build websites.
Guys,
that was awesome.
That is good.
That's so going on that soundboard.
Top position.
Yeah.
Top position.
Well, don't screw up if you have some muscle memory.
Yeah. I'm really quick. You'll notice.
Dang.
So, did we answer the question?
Absolutely not.
I was going with just build websites. Was that you, if you, like, I think... start a project, and then you'll kind of figure out, like, through 100 hours of Googling what needs to happen next. Chances are you'll want... I mean, like, you're never going to be a CSS master in a day. You're never going to be a JavaScript master in one day, unless you watch Doug. But in HTML is even sort of weird. There's weird things about HTML. So it's just, like, I think historically, it's like you just learn what you need to know, and then... eventually, over a million hours, you have a compendium of
what you need is like an actual website that you can actually type a URL into a browser window and go and see it, because mm-hmm. that like just has that powerful feeling of like, look, I did that thing.
Yep.
So my earliest story was like, bought a domain name, struggled through that thing on GoDaddy or whatever, bought some hosting somewhere, it was probably Media Temple back or whatever, and then like figured out how to like point the DNS at the web thing, and that's even like a kludgy mess to figure out when you have no idea what you're doing. Then like get an FTP program and you're like cyber duck or something and you're
yes.
like typing crap into that to try to get it to work. And then I like managed to like WordPress. Oh, I get it. You move the files into this thing or whatever. And then once you like have struggled through all that, which is probably maybe a couple of days worth of work when you're super new, at least you like have a website and it's actually on the internet. And that's a super powerful feeling. And then you like just start editing what's already there. So you're not like, oh, I should learn about duck types. You know, like screw mm-hmm. that at first. Like change red to blue or whatever.
Yeah.
The footer background blue, right, Jen?
I think if you're gonna learn, I would like just learn by doing, but where would I start if I was starting?
I just explained where to start.
You did. No one freak out.
Oh, Mr. Bill Columbia writes in Dear Shop Talk. They don't actually write that. I just write that. What are some of the most important things you've learned or experienced from being active in the community? Does being involved in our industry does being involved make our industry better? Oh, that's a leading question.
Yeah, easy.
I'm sure you listened to Matt's talk earlier. It was all about community and the power that comes from that, which is, you know, that's where all the power comes from.
Yeah, so Matt had this awesome talk. I'm talking to the radio people. Matt had this awesome talk, you know, just about how, like, being in community is kind of, it's very thriving and it makes everything interesting and fun, and you can also get mad help. Imagine if you were living in Matt's house of 10 people, and you are the person who, like, didn't come out of their room, you know? Like,
this is the best analogy right? I've ever heard.
Because we've probably all had that roommate. You know, you're the roommate who doesn't come out of their room.
Yeah.
Like, the other roommates are like, that dude doesn't come out of his room.
Totally. But
he only eats cereal.
He's the one with long hair, though, and it's always around the drain.
Oh, that's him.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah.
Nobody's going to help him when his car is stuck in the winter.
Yeah.
They'll be like, oh, I'm like double Jeopardy's on. And I gotta,
yeah. You know. Can't do it, dude.
But if he was the guy that cleaned the bathroom all the time, they'd be like, let me get some kitty litter. You don't know about that in Florida, but if your car gets stuck, don't worry about it.
So kitty litter's like sand.
And this guy's like sand spurs.
Oh, boy. So that's how I would... I think, like, contributing, putting things on GitHub, and, especially now, it's like, that's, like, actually how you're probably going to get hired by a company who's hiring well is, like, they'll look at code or things you're interested in on GitHub and stuff like that. And so I think it helps to share. And there's always this thing of, like, no one wants to hear what I have to say. And it's like, you'd be surprised.
I do hear that a lot, though. Like, I don't blog just because I feel like everybody knows what I'm about to write, which if that was true, I would have never, ever blogged anything. I was like, Captain, explain something that's already been explained before.
No, and that's... CSS
somebody doesn't
turned
know.
Out all right. But I think like, you can do that. I think blogging is a great way. I mean, that's, like, talk about, like, passive ways you can be involved. It's like you're just talking to outer space, and if people listen and give you feedback, that's really awesome. And the blogging's kind of died because it's all tweets now. And
it doesn't just make your life better, because, I mean, the question is, does being involved make our industry better? And there's just no question about it.
Yeah, I mean, there's been posts like Tim Kadlec wrote that post we talked about recently, was the why we need responsive images. And, like, if he hadn't written that post, like, we wouldn't have some dialogue around the subject of responsive images. Like, we need to keep talking about stuff. We need people to keep prodding the fire. And, you know,
it had some ripple effects, because then there was another post written, and then you wrote one, and then there was kind of some sparks of interest on Twitter, and then all of a sudden there's some new people that work at Google who just joined the Responsive Images community group, which probably was, if not from, you know,
it's
fueled
directly
that fire.
Because of my post.
That's what I'm trying
and
to
then,
say.
Yeah. So I think it had to be that. So hopefully, yeah, I think all err on the side of being involved would be my inactive, you know, speak at bar camps, speak at local meetups are always hard up for people to speak. So
yeah.
So that's what I would say. No one freak
252.
Out.
252. We're really killing it for time here.
We're good.
We can do one more and then we'll be good.
Okay. No one freak out.
Maybe even your time. Maybe even, that was a good one, actually. It kind of was like, what?
Yeah. I'm scared. It's loud, and it's... Okay, go.
Mrs. Erica Walker asks, Dear Shop Talk. Writes, Dear Shop. I teach a single intro to web class at the college level. Would you think SAS is a good solution, or should I stick with basic CSS for teaching? And the class name is Intro to Web.
Intro to Web.
I don't know if that's a class, but that's how it was described here.
Do you do SAS?
Right, that's the question. Which I think is highly interesting, because I just got done talking about how you should absolutely use it.
Right. So what would you say?
Well, and especially because I ended on this, like, you shouldn't care about what's in the middle. You should care about what authoring is like and what the website is like, which I strongly believe that. But if you have no concept of what the middle is like, it's tempting for me to say that you should probably stick to teaching what CSS is in that class. Kind of quickly transition out of it.
I think, yeah, like, teach CSS. And if you get to the point where you're starting to teach vendor prefixes, say, like,
That's a great answer.
Then say, this is dumb. Let's go. Here's this cool thing called SAS, I think, right?
That's great. I like that.
Yeah.
So, yes, teach CSS, but as soon as you get into complexity-ish stuff. No warning.
I woke somebody up. I saw it. They were like, whoa.
How does John Stewart do it as well?
John Stewart, yeah, he's like, thanks, everyone, blah, blah, blah. I'm a millionaire. That's what I usually hear him say. Well, cool, awesome. Thanks, everyone, for coming. You guys bought a ticket not to see us. But thanks for listening. You guys are great. You guys, is there any question you guys had that you're going to yell out?
You have 10 seconds.
You have 10 seconds. No?
30. Thanks for listening to Shop Talk Show. Let's get on with the rest of this conference. It'll be certainly better. It'll end strong, I'm sure.
Yeah!